Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting season of Hollywood Knockbusters. This is the first episode back, and boy, do we have a fun one to talk about. I'm here with my guest who, wait, have you been on Hollywood Knockbusters yet? I don't think you have.
I have not.
No. Well, welcome, Liz Fletcher. How are you doing, Liz?
Good, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Liz. So Liz has been on a few of my other shows. And she's like, all of a sudden I got her like hooked on these things or something, because she's been asking me to be on the shows. You know, she's asking me to do shows with her, and I'm like, damn, you know.
I saw that one film and we have to do it.
We're going to do it for horror film lovers for sure, and we'll talk about that later on another show. It'll probably be out probably by the time this comes out anyway. So I was like thinking, well, how can I start up the season? And I wanted to do it with somebody who wasn't local, and we didn't have to do it in the studio, but I was trying to find something on Tubi. And really, every time I kept thinking of something, I realized how it wasn't technically in my ideas of a Hollywood knockbuster, which means it like lost money, you know, but people seem to really enjoy it. You know, so I decided to do Double Dragon as the one, because when I looked at it, it bombed in the box office. I wonder why, but, you know, we'll get into that.
I don't know. I haven't the foggiest.
I don't know. But yeah, it bombed badly. But I always remember, this is different than what I normally do too, because normally these are a lot of movies that I love. And I remember when I first saw this movie as a it was 94, so I was a kid. I was how the fuck old was I? I was like 13, something like that. 13. I was like 13 years old, and I was like, this is dumb. This is like kindergarten kind of, you know, humor, right?
I don't know if kindergartners would even like it though.
Okay, so then I watched it again as an adult, just like yesterday. And I was actually laughing a few times. It was so stupid and dumb. And we have to also mention this. So there's a movie that I watched called 8 Days a Week for Quick Review Thursday. And it starred like Carrie Russell. And it was basically about a kid who, you know, basically slept on this girl's lawn for the whole summer so that she would fall in love with him. Don't tell me how that works. You know, nowadays that's called calling the police.
More to me than somebody sleeping on my lawn.
What?
Nothing screams love more to me than somebody sleeping on my lawn.
Right? I mean, he wasn't even allowed to go home and shower most of the time or whatever. So he was literally just sitting there on the lawn all day. And I don't, like, it was the dumbest movie, but I always remember liking it or whatever. And it was written, and then we saw it, and I was like, this is so, you definitely couldn't make this movie today because it would be very creepy. And back then, I don't know why it wasn't creepy. I guess it just wasn't creepy, you know, back then to do that. Even Siskel and Ebert liked it or whatever. Ebert and whoever was with him at that time.
Right.
You know, because I think Siskel had passed away before he got the chance to watch 8 Days a Week. Lucky him, I guess. This movie, I didn't even see what Siskel and Ebert gave Double Dragon. I guarantee you they gave it 2 thumbs down. But this was written by it was co-written by the writer of 8 Days a Week. That's why I brought it up. And I can tell now that like all the dumb humor and like stupid lines, that was definitely written by what's his name? Michael Davis. And he just is, you know, he's very good at like child humor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that makes him good. Like he should write more children, you know, movies or whatever, because his adult movies or teen movies or whatever, they just don't work out to me. Well, 100 Girls, which he did, was my favorite. And that was actually really good. I don't know if you've ever seen that or heard of it. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. But I think that's the cast, not really the writing, directing. But this had a crazy cast. Let's talk about that real quick. So on the cast list, starting off is the big man, Robert Patrick. Now, did you know Robert Patrick before this, obviously?
Yeah, I did not realize that was him until I looked it up on IMDb. I think maybe it was partly the eye makeup.
That's the Terminator, man.
I know.
You know, T-1000. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he was fantastic in this because, as he wrote, like, I have this great quote from him, and this kind of sums up the movie too a little bit. Well, okay, let me read it. Let's see, where does it say it? God damn, my glasses are not.
I think I know what quote you're talking about because I think I read it too.
Yeah, he said this was a movie that I did on paper I thought could really work. It didn't really work. Well, there are some funny aspects to that character, and it was fairly liberating experience to be funny and try to be menacing at the same time. Now, I dug that part of it. You know, it was definitely, he had to be funny and menacing at the same time. That's a pretty hard thing to do. So I give him props for that. He said he's proud of his performance. It's really extreme performance. And he got to work with Scott Wolf, Mark Dacascos, and Alyssa Milano, which Alyssa Milano, he really didn't have too many scenes with. And actually, none of them he really had too many scenes with of them. He got to work with them, you know, more like toward the end, you know, or whatever. And more so Mark and Scott. And he got to be in the body of Mark Dacascos. Or did you know Mark Dacascos? Were you aware of him?
No, I'm not familiar with him. Even when I looked him up, I hadn't really seen anything that he'd been in.
Yeah, so he was a big martial arts guy back in the early 90s. So I grew up on martial arts. I don't know if you know that about me, but I did karate from when I was like 7 to about 17, 18.
And then I feel like you've mentioned that, actually.
Yeah. It's a big part of who I am as a person anyway, because like that was pretty much my childhood. A lot of it was, you know, doing, because most people did soccer or football or baseball.
Right.
I did karate because the Karate Kid, because I mean, still the movies made me want to do stuff. So I studied karate for so long, and so I would watch these movies that had karate, you know, people in it. You know, people were watching Jean-Claude Van Damme or Chuck Norris or Steven Seagal. I was watching Mark Dacascos and Sasha Mitchell, mainly because Sasha Mitchell was on a TV show I love called Step by Step. He was Cody, you know, which he would have been a perfect person as the other brother. You know, they would have been perfect for each other. But unfortunately, they went with Scott Wolf, who I don't think he had much of a karate background. He was just a pretty face, you know, or whatever.
He was a very pretty face.
Right? You know, like at that time, I don't know what he looks like now or anything. But back then, like he was on the cover of like Teen Beat, you know, or whatever. And one of my friends thinks that he felt so miscast in that movie that maybe it was like the studio, you know, told them, you know, they need a name, and they went with Scott Wolf as the name, because I think, if I recall correctly, you might know this better than I would, but Party of Five, was that on in 94? I want to say it was.
I think so.
Because there's no way he was famous before Party of Five, you know.
Right.
Did they try to bring that back at all? Yeah, they did. I remember that.
Did they?
Yeah, for Freeform. But it had nothing. It was so different that it almost should have been called something else. And it probably was called something else. Yeah, so that was 94. So it was about the same time. Wow. So I guess he was starting to kind of blow up in his name. And they were like, let's put him in this movie. And make him Asian, I guess, right? Like the Lee name, like I thought that was, he was supposed to be some kind of Asian.
I guess so.
He was not adopted or anything. They never mentioned that.
Right. You know?
So I just thought that was strange that, I mean, like if that's the way they wanted to portray it, whatever. I can't, you know, say anything, but it's strange to me. You know what I mean? Like that's what they decided to do. But yeah, and Alyssa Milano, she was sort of weirdly cast too, you know, honestly, because I guess she was very famous for the movie that they freaking put a line in. Remember where the girl actually says, "Now who's your boss?"
In this movie?
Yeah, in this movie. Do you remember that line? Where like, who's the boss now or something? Like,
oh, that. I didn't catch that. Was that towards the end?
Yeah, that was towards the end. That was when the blonde chick was fighting Alyssa Milano.
Oh, no, I do remember that part. Yeah.
Yeah, and then she said, like, who's the boss now or something like that. It was something cheesy where they were referencing who's the boss. Like, they had to, you know, and I'm guessing Party of Five wasn't that big of a thing, or they would have been like, hey, blah, 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 Party of Five, you know, like, just too many, like, in jokes and, Vanna White being a you know, news anchor now. I guess Wheel of Fortune wasn't working out for her anymore, you know?
I thought that was pretty funny. Her and George, what's his name?
It wasn't Seagal, right? It wasn't George Seagal. What was it, George? I know what you're talking about.
The orange.
Shoot. They don't even have him. He'll probably be listed at the bottom as uncredited or something. Because with Vanna White, Andy Dick was the fucking Smodcaster. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. He was, wasn't that strange? Like that all these people, like, it just felt weird.
Right.
Ah, they don't even, oh man, he must have taken his name off this movie.
Oh, George Hamilton.
George Hamilton. That's funny though. They don't, yeah, he's not even listed. Nope, he is. Okay, George Hamilton. What else did he, I know that name. He's been in a lot of stuff, but I don't really, he was in Godfather Part 3, which is the only Godfather I've never seen. You know,
I mean, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any of them.
What?
I know.
You need to start watching some. I mean, those are some good movies too. Like the first two, especially. You know, and they're kind of always quoted and stuff. So you know, just like Scarface and all those typical Apocalypse Now. You know,
right.
Anyway. Going back to what we were just talking about with us. So yeah, George Hamilton, Vanna White, fucking Andy Dick all working together.
It's weird, isn't it?
It just sort of felt like this movie. And then did you notice the commercial for was it the plumbing commercial for like Jack City or Jake City or something? It was Jake.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty funny.
Did you see who they were?
No, I didn't recognize them.
They were Mario Brothers. They were, Mario and Luigi. They just never called them that, you know?
Right.
I don't know why, because I think it was produced by Nintendo. So I know they put that in there as like, oh, we're doing this, but like, maybe because Super Mario Brothers did so poorly in the box office.
Yeah. You know,
we did Super Mario Brothers for Hollywood Knockbusters last season. So that's why I've decided to put this one as the season. But it did so poorly in the box office that maybe they were just like, we can't make any references to actual Super Mario, but we'll give a little nod and wink to it. It was just awkward to me.
Yeah.
But it was funny. It was cute. And you didn't even notice it. So, I mean, people weren't like looking
for it. I thought it was kind of random, but not. Yeah. Now that you say,
Right? Like, if you rewatch it, you'll see it. You'll notice it. I was looking out for it because, not because I knew that they would do something, but I was looking out in case they did any kind of hidden Nintendo jokes that I might know.
Right.
Did you grow up on Nintendo at all?
Yeah.
So you used to play Nintendo all the time?
Oh, yeah. I had the Nintendo, mostly the Game Boy. That's mostly what I played on.
Really? What was your favorite game?
Pokemon.
Oh, that's so cute. I like it. It shows a little bit of our age difference because I never got into Pokemon. I just wasn't. It's like I wasn't into Power Rangers either, you know? Like, at that time, I just was, like, I was starting to, once again, just like this movie came out probably around the same time, like, Power Rangers was coming out. I was like, that's for kids. Yeah. This movie felt like it was for kids, but I don't know. Even kids back then were probably like, I don't like it. It's too weird.
It was cheesy. It was very cheesy.
They did come out with a Blu-ray semi-recently that has like extras on it, and I really want to get my hands on it, because it's like, this is a movie this is a movie just like Super Mario Brothers that I'll watch again, you know, because it's so, like, they tried something different, you know, because have you ever played Double Dragon, the video game?
No.
It's pretty much just a beat 'em up game, right? It's like literally you just fight all these guys until you get to the next level, and then you fight some more guys, get to the next level to save your girlfriend. But the beginning of Double Dragon, the video game, is probably the most fucked up beginning I've ever seen in a video game. It starts, well, other than like maybe Grand Theft Auto or something like that, I'm sure there's, you know, those are a little worse. But like, back in the, you know, back in the 80s or 90s or whatever, early 90s, this was not something. So it starts with there are two guys, the Lee brothers, and they're with two girls, you know, and then both of their girls get hit by this gang members, you know, like punched in the gut and then like hoisted over on them and taken away. That's a thing you probably wouldn't see nowadays, you know?
Yeah, they don't make video games like they used to.
it's such a strange thing to look back at that and go, wait, that was the beginning of the game, wasn't it? You just like punched the girls, like literally poof, punched them and then lift them over their, you know, on their shoulders and then just walked away. It was like, I swear to God, look it up on YouTube or something. It's like, see how the beginning of the thing is played. I'm just like, this is, and then you're supposed to go find them. You know, that's your task, is to just go, you know, get them by the big boss, which was not called Coco. What is his name? Coco Shungo or something?
Oh yeah, it was Coco Shuko or something.
Coco Shuko. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, Koga Shugo. Shuko. Oh my god. That's true. They just kept calling him Shuko or something, you know? They were like, fuck this. We're not even gonna say his full name. So his full name's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier, Mark Dacascos was one of my favorite people. And I used to, when I was a kid, I in 93, he had made a movie called Only the Strong, and it was actually on Hollywood Knockbusters first season, and so we did that. And Only the Strong, basically, I mean, I've loved this movie ever since. Like, it actually helped me get through a lot of shit, you know, in my life. And I got to interview the director of it once, and at his house, and he got to show me all the cool stuff, you know, that he had, like, you know, leftover posters and pictures and, you know, from the set and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool. But that movie really helped me out. And so when I saw, like, Mark Dacascos was, you know, the main guy or one of the main guys in Double Dragon, I got super excited, you know, I was like, oh my God. I even remember back in the day, this was back in early internet days. Remember when they used to actually have, you could, on websites, they would have somebody's like post office box. You could like fan mail. You could send fan mail. I did that for Mark and he sent me a autographed picture. I don't know where it is, but it said like to Jonathan, aloha, Mark Dacascus.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so he's been a, you know, what did you think of him on this, in this movie?
I liked him. I thought he, I liked his fight scenes. I thought he actually had pretty good chemistry with Scott Wolf.
Yeah. Like they felt like they could be brothers. I mean, maybe they hung out and did stuff together to kind of bond, you know, but they definitely felt like they were, you know, what is it? Brothers, you know, together.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed them. What did you think of Scott Wolf? Like, I mean, you've known Scott Wolf, right? Like you knew who he was.
I haven't seen a lot of stuff that he's been in, but I don't know. I thought they did a good job considering. As I was watching it, it was hard to take the movie seriously. And I think that's how it was meant to be, actually.
Well, like I said, it was meant to be for kids, you know, right. You could tell, you know, this movie was not, you know, people calling each other butthead and stuff. And I'm like, what?
I loved that.
Right. Because like, this is something you could show your kids and it'll be all right. You know, mm-hmm. Like it's not, they don't curse at each other. They call each other butthead. And like, right. Obviously people that age, even at that, especially at that time, would not be calling each other butthead. They'd be saying something a little bit more vulgar, you know?
I called my siblings buttheads when I was growing up.
But if you're in a fight with somebody, you wouldn't call them butthead. Maybe you would. Maybe you would. I don't know. Maybe you're different. I don't know.
No, I'm weird.
Well, let's go, butthead. You know? All right. All right. I'll
get out of here, butthead.
Butthead, before I wipe your head with the ground, butthead. I don't know. But yeah. Alyssa Milano, I really liked her in this. You know?
Yeah, I did too. I liked her outfits too.
Did you like her hair?
I was like, what is going on right now? Who? I want to meet the costume designer.
It popped up on the like list of names or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. That's the person that picked out all the outfits. I forgot what the person's name was, but geez, they had a little fun, you know? I think they were told to just. What was that?
Maybe they were high. I don't
That's
know.
That's what I was thinking. That maybe they were, you know, like they were told they had to do this crazy kid show. And they're like, you know what would be great with this crazy kid show? If I got high and just picked out every outfit, you know, right? And what?
A little inspiration.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably. So let's talk about the story. I guess we didn't go into the story. I mean, okay, I guess we can go into a story. Like, I don't really even know if we can explain this necessarily. But can you explain it? Can you,
okay, let me see here. So in ancient China, this ruler sacrificed himself to save his people, I think. And so he broke his, soul into one piece of this dragon and his body into the other piece of the dragon. And they were separated so that nobody could put them together and have complete power. So Shuko, the bad guy, he's like the richest man in the world. He somehow got one of the pieces. And the woman that raised the brothers somehow had the other piece. And so, am I doing
you're right. Exactly. That's a good way to describe it, because like, honestly, they never fully explain that stuff. Exactly. You know, like how she got it, why she had it. Like they tried to in little bits, but it wasn't very completely understood. You know. So anyway, continue going.
Shuko eventually, by using these street gangs, which is also part of the plot. So Los Angeles has gone through just major earthquakes, and it's like in this post-apocalyptic time, which is 2007, I think. Was that right?
I think that's right. Yeah, it was 2007. That's right. Oh, crap. Because it pops up in like later, it's like New Angeles, 2007. I'm like,
right.
This is what 2007 looked like.
New Angeles, basically, in order to keep all of the gang members and thugs from running the streets during the day, the police officers have made a pact to allow them free rein at night. So there's a curfew.
You know what this kind of remind me of, like pre-purge, you know?
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, this was like their idea of like, okay, we're going to let the gangs, you know, after curfew, if you're out after curfew, the gangs can do whatever they want to you. And, and the gangs have tolls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apparently
that's why you go out after
curfew. Yeah. Cause they will pay, ask you for $50. Apparently that's their toll. I didn't understand any of that shit, but all right.
And yeah, it was strange.
Money was apparently different too. Did you notice that?
Well, yeah, it was 20 some years in the future.
Yeah, but money hasn't really, well, technically now money is changing into cryptocurrency kind of shit, which so it's sort of changing, but we're still paying with like, you know, dollar bills and stuff, you know, it's just, it's strange.
Well, maybe after an apocalypse, currency would change.
After an earthquake, which I wonder if a lot of that, because some of it looked like Japanese, like it was called New Tokyo or something at one point. There was a place called New Tokyo. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that means that, because it's, you know, the, California kind of split, you know, because everybody's always said that California is this close from like splitting from, you know, USA, you know, whatever.
Happen eventually.
I know, like it's gonna go off into the ocean or something, and it won't be probably for another like 2,000 years or something, you know, but if the earth is even alive that long, you know. Dear Lord, another 2,000 years, and sorry, it just became, you know, like in the 2000s. Oh Lord, I can't even imagine what 2000 from now would be like. And I don't ever want to do a movie where I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna guess what the year 4000 is gonna look like,
because
people are guessing what 2007 is gonna look like, and that's only 20 years in the future, and I'm like, that looks nothing like what, you know, what it was. So keep going, there's some more to this story.
So Shuko uses his money and his ties with the gangs to eventually secure, and I'm skipping over, I'm just kind of paraphrasing, obtains the other piece. He puts them together and turns into this double twin shadow ninja guy. And the brothers team up against him, punch him about 5 times, and they get the double dragon back and use it to embarrass him.
Pretty much.
Did I do good?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you skipped ahead. You skipped to the end, but it's okay. We'll probably talk about more other stuff that happened in between, because there was a lot of cool shit that happened in between, including, I'm sure if you looked at the same thing I looked at, that is said about the Robert Patrick quote and everything. He also said, or what was also talked about is that the boat scene, which was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fun scene, wasn't it?
So they filmed, I looked that up. They filmed that on the Cuyahoga River.
Right. In Ohio.
They used I want to say 200 gallons of gasoline and 100 gallons of alcohol or something. Even though they put out notices to the citizens that was going to be taking place, I read that they still received 200 some phone calls to emergency services about it.
Like in the same time frame too, all of a sudden their phones were lighting up, but I guess you have to literally let every single person know when you're about to do an explosion like that, you know? So yeah. I would probably be freaked out too if I heard a big huge explosion and was I hear shit all the time, but where I live, we live right next to the Surrey plant, you know? And so it's a plant, that's going to have occasionally they do random alarms that aren't bad, but they're we're at this certain time, we're going to, do this alarm to let you guys know or whatever. This movie they would have had to tell everybody in the fucking town and everything and around there to, 200 people, or more. Yeah, so that would have been an interesting thing to have to do is go door to door and tell people, or because you can't. Well, I mean, that's the only way you can let everybody know, because not everybody's gonna watch that news thing or read what? Read it in the newspaper. I mean, do you even read the newspaper anymore?
I catch little bits of the news here and there just to keep up to date on what's going on, but I don't really follow the news every day. It's depressing. And I mean, the world is not a depressing place. That's why I feel like if you spend too much time reading the news, it's just, it can't. I'm sorry.
You're okay?
Anyways, if you spend too much time looking at that stuff, it just gives you a lot of anxiety and depression. So
I get it. I barely ever know what's going on. I'm in my own little world, mm-hmm. I'm doing my own shit and stuff. And people are telling me, oh, this is happening. This is happening. I'm like, oh, okay.
We could be two of those 200 some people that would be calling 911.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd probably just be like, yeah, okay, that happened. That explosion. As long as it didn't affect me, I didn't see something blow up, If I were outside and I saw the fucking water on fire, I might call the police, right? Because they set the fucking water on fire because they said apparently the water became flammable. What?
Yeah,
that didn't even make any sense. I was like, how does water just become flammable? I'm guessing that there's something to do with oil and water or something. I don't know, but
the water's probably polluted
with other stuff, right? Other than obviously water, but it was strange to me. I don't know. The whole movie was sort of a little bit strange, pretty much, but I think that was the point that they wanted to go with it, is they wanted it to be different from the video game but similar enough where people go, oh, this is Double Dragon. Speaking of Double Dragon, did you notice that inside the what is the power, what do they call the power, what was Alyssa Milano's gang called? The power something, whatever. The power gang.
I know what you're talking about.
So they're inside there and they're having the fight scene. And was it Scott Wolf is, I think, fighting Jimmy. You know, they're both fighting each other, and they walk into the arcade and you see all the arcade games. One of them was Double Dragon.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And I was like, oh, okay. Like, that when you're going to mention the Double Dragon stuff, like, if they never said Double Dragon at all, like, I could totally get throwing that in there. They actually say the name Double Dragon quite a few times. So I'm like, what are you, like, why would you do that? You know, why would you put your own game? Unless there's some kind of nod to it or something, but it was weird. Yeah. It's like Super Mario Brothers walking into an arcade and seeing a Super Mario Brothers game,
right? You know,
or whatever. And it be just being in the background. It's just strange. It didn't make any sense. I'm guessing that was supposed to be some kind of joke, but didn't make me laugh. It just made me go, what the hell?
Huh.
Why is that there? The fight scenes were pretty cool, though. I'm not going to lie. Very well choreographed.
Right. I agree.
But yeah. So were you a fan of the action?
I liked it. Yeah. I mean, it was a little, like, the whole thing was a little cheesy to me, but it was fun. I enjoyed it. It made me laugh.
What? It was very like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
It was very much like that. It was in that vein of like, cause at this time, 1994, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a huge hit. You know, by that time, they might have had all three Ninja Turtles out. There was another movie being made about the same time called Surf Ninjas, you know, and there was a bunch of like ninja style, you know, movies or whatever. And so that was the thing. Like that was a big deal for kids, you know. And so it made total sense that Double Dragon would have like this very Ninja Turtle-y,
yeah,
you know, fight scenes where they're, you know, grabbing each other and giving each other noogies
around,
spinning each other around and, you know, whatever goofy shit, you know, bonking each other on the head and stuff that kids would go, ha ha, that's funny, you know?
Right.
And then, but there's some cool scenes. Like, before the boat scene, I really liked the scene where they're like inside the boat place or whatever, and they're like trapped. But like the fight scenes before then, and then they get trapped inside that thing, and then that guy's like, "I see you," and he's like, "No, you don't." Pop.
Yeah.
What did you think of a Bobo?
Which one was he?
Originally, he was the just really big guy, and then he became even bigger.
Oh, yeah. I liked him.
He was just stupid. Like, his character was just stupid on purpose.
I mean, I was just, every time he was in a scene, I was like, dang, look at his calves.
The original guy? The real guy?
No, the one he mutated into.
Oh, I didn't notice his calves. What
are we thinking of the same guy?
Yeah.
Because I was getting confused with the names and stuff.
So there's a Bobo and a Bobo 2 or whatever, and they're played by different people, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
So the first one was the guy that was basically asking them for the money, you know, and everything. Mm-hmm. And he was being very like whatever, kind of stupid. Like him and his friend are like the one that got poked in the eye. They're just so stupid, like characters, like they're dumb, dumb and dumber style humor.
Three Stooges. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, even stupider than Three Stooges. Like, and that's a compliment there. but yeah, so they're very silly, goofy characters. Then what's his name? And then a Bobo kind of gets into a little bit of a, or whatever, he ends up I guess he that was his job, was to pick up the Jimmy and Billy. How did Shuko find out that they were the ones with the other half?
Was it one of the gangs that clued him in?
Was it a Bobo? Or did he? Because I know he looked at the, he looked at the, he saw it on the girl, right. And she or on, it was either on the girl or it was on Billy. I think originally it was on the girl, like the handler.
Yeah, originally.
Yeah. And then the, was it, then he kind of came in and, you know, what is it? Saw it. So you might have went and told Shuko. I don't know, because that was never fully explained. I would have loved if he said,
yeah,
I saw it on her, so she definitely has it, you know, or something. Because then that just would have explained why he was even at Shuko's place, you know.
Right. There were a few plot holes for sure.
I think, and this, you know, this is a big talk. This is what I've had on talks about the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I even made a post about sort of similar to this. But when you have a lot of money, you know, I think this movie only had 7 million, you know, which yeah. isn't, but probably back then that was like 20 million today.
Right.
You know, and so when you have that much money, they're going to be very protective of the movie, you know. They are going to want to make sure that the movie is, you know, taken care of and mm-hmm. stuff and done well enough. The problem is when that happens is like this producer has an idea. This producer has an idea.
Yes.
This director has an idea. The writer has an idea and they all don't have the same idea. So right. it becomes this like, hey, you need to put this in here, but that won't make sense because the writer yeah. has it like this. And I want to direct it like this. And then it just becomes this like mess of like, you know, too many cooks spoiling the soup.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And this is what I'm going to say about that, because I don't think I explained this enough before on anything, but on any of my podcasts, but Hollywood, listen to me. If you're ever listening to me, if you're a Hollywood producer and you're checking this, this one out, cause you like Double Dragon for some reason, I don't know, but, do please, for the love of God, if you're a Hollywood producer or studio, if you let, don't do the movie until the script is completely right and then the director completely agrees with the script, you know, mm-hmm. and then shoot that script. Because right. if a producer comes in and says, I want this, and the other person comes in, it becomes this big mess. You know, this yeah. is why indie films get a lot more credit, because it's just the producer, it's just the money and the director and usually it's the same as the writer. So they go off and make their own movie and they don't have anybody telling them, well, you got to do this. You got to change that. You got to, you yeah. know what I mean? So and people are always like, if I had $20 million, I'd make a better movie than Double Dragon. And I'm like thinking, you might not, because you don't know behind the scenes if, the producer there was like, you know, we have to have this certain thing happen, you know, or this investor is not going to pull out of the movie, you know, and that one thing could ruin your whole fucking movie, you know,
yeah.
but the movie won't get made without that one thing. So, I mean, you don't know. And people think that, oh, I could, you know, I'm going to change things if I got no, buddy. No, you're going to probably be worse, because right. usually they pick the people who've been doing this for a while that get, mm-hmm. you know, get to move on up. You know, you have to work your way up in this business.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, as an actress, you know, you can't just become, you can't just wake up one day and be like, I'm going to be a, you know, $1 million producer, you know?
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen that way. You work your way up and eventually maybe you will become one, you know?
Right.
That's your goal. But so do you think that this movie was plagued by that maybe a little bit?
Oh, absolutely.
So too many people thinking too many different things.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I That is 100% what I think. So let's go. And was there any really scenes that you really liked in this movie?
So my friends and I would have to hide behind a wall.
I loved the part where the big monster guy busted through the door. It was so theatrical.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When he just came in down.
Were they in a theater?
Yeah, yeah, that scene. Okay, yeah, no.
I love that. It was so theatrical, and that's when the movie started for me. I was like, what am I watching?
Right? This is that kind of movie. It's like you're wondering what the hell is going on here the whole time. But you're enjoying it because it's
It was fun.
It's a weird mess of stuff.
Right.
You know?
It was.
Yeah, it was fun, right?
Yeah.
What was your. So you liked that scene. What was your least favorite scene in the movie?
Showed me how you super glue and fix it together.
Probably the first scene.
No. I mean,
the fighting was okay, but I was like, man, this is so cheesy.
So you mean all the like stuff in the China?
You know? Yeah.
Okay.
Where they were having the fighting tournament. Was that that wasn't the first scene, was it?
No, the first scene was in China where they were, I guess they were collecting the other, the medallion, you know,
right.
It was only half of it or whatever. And then the other scene was okay. So you didn't like the tournament scene?
I liked it, but it was just, I don't know. I feel like it's overdone too. I feel like every other movie nowadays has street fights, and I don't know.
Well, I mean, and that was sort of at that time the sort of thing that was really big.
Yes.
You know, there was Street Fighter, there was Mortal Kombat, you know, so
yeah.
It's sort of, and also Jean-Claude Van Damme was famous for those street fighting type of movies,
right,
you know.
Right.
So it was sort of that time period, you know, thing, but I get it. I thought it was hilarious fight scene. I mean, and kind of showed Billy and Jimmy and their two different personalities. You know, they might be brothers, but like one of them's just goofy and silly and fun and laid back, and the other one's a lot more serious and, you know, straightforward and, you know,
which is how most siblings really are. Like, yeah. Totally personalities.
Different personalities, and they show it, you know, or whatever. So I dug that. I thought that was a lot of fun, you know. Honestly, this movie was sort of like I said before, I was not a fan of it when I was younger because I thought it was too kiddie, you know, and too weird, and too, I didn't want a futuristic world and in my. And that's like, once again, that was Super Mario Brothers did that too. And I'm like thinking, now, why would they redo that when they know the Super Mario, but maybe they were created at the same time and just released one year apart or something. So, but yeah, it's funny. Like, I guess this like was the beginning of the video game boom thing where Super Mario Brothers, then it was Double Dragon, and then after that was Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. So those came out about the same time afterwards. I mean, you know, those ones did a lot better. You know, I think even Street Fighter pulled in but that was marketing, and that was, everybody went there to see Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know.
Yeah.
This didn't have, I mean, this had Scott Wolf, but like Scott, I still don't think Scott Wolf was a big enough name.
The people that like Scott Wolf are probably not people that are into video game movies.
Right.
Whereas the people who like Jean-Claude Van Damme are people who like video games and fighting movies.
Exactly. See, I mean, and Mark Dacascos was a big sort of was getting to be a big name, so he had that going for him. He mm-hmm. later on became the Iron Chef, if you remember that show. You know,
yeah.
So he got really famous for that. Mm-hmm. One of my buddies from LA, who I'm good friends with, Craig, he works with Mark all the time and everything, and I'm super jealous. You know,
I was gonna say, are you jealous, Jonathan?
I am. I'm a little jealous. I'm like, oh, but Craig's such a nice. I mean, Craig and I hung out in LA, and such a nice guy. You know, I love that dude. But he'll tell me these stories about hanging. Fuck, dude. I'll tell you this real quick. So I was at that guy's house that worked on that directed the movie that Mark was in, and Sheldon Lettich, and I asked to use his restroom after, you know, and I saw when I went into his restroom, he had a bunch of posters of Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, you know, that he directed, you know, or wrote or whatever, all in his bathroom. So I went to the bathroom, came back out, and you know, I said, oh my God, I love that you got all those posters up, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme posters up on your wall in your bathroom. And he goes, do you know who doesn't like that? Van Damme. He's like, whenever he comes over, he's like, what are you trying to say, man?
I mean, I can see that.
Could you imagine if you came over to my house and had all your posters up and that I put that if I've ever done any ones with you, but you know, all in my bathroom, you might be like,
think that's hilarious though.
You would.
But I have a weird sense of humor, so
I think Van Damme probably thought it was hilarious too, but in the same sense, he's probably like thinking, God, are you trying to say that my stuff's like in the toilet, you know? You really, I mean, he hasn't really been doing too well lately, and as far as like making good movies, you know, like kind of like Bruce Willis. You know, did you hear about Bruce Willis?
No.
Bruce Willis has been doing so many straight to video, like straight to Blu-ray movies lately and they're so terrible. Well, they're considered terrible. A lot of my friends actually direct them. So I enjoy that he's doing that, because then,
right,
you know, people I know are having a chance to have them. But he did so bad, like, you know, the Razzies, you know what those are, right?
Yeah.
So they actually have a category for best worst Bruce Willis movie of the year this year. So because he's done like 10 or so movies, so they have a bunch on there to,
well, he needs to be smart and be like Sandra Bullock and
very picky.
Go with Netflix.
That's true.
Netflix done some amazing Netflix films.
I'm wondering if there's a reason why, you know, he hasn't done that.
I'm sure he could get on there.
Probably. Because there'd have to be a reason, like maybe like Netflix just doesn't want to work with him, you know, or something, because you know, these little movies that he's doing are pretty much probably helping pay his bills, you know, like, you know, I get $1 million or more per these little teeny tiny $5 million projects, you know, like his name's the only, he's the biggest name on there. There's Chad Michael Murray and, mm-hmm. you know, a couple other people have kind of sort of become these, like, I don't know, fallen on hard times.
Working have to and not because they want to,
right? You know, exactly. And it's kind of sad to say that. I don't know, but it's true. It would be great. I'd love to see more from him on Netflix, but you know, they've been doing, like, Adam Sandler's made a deal with him. I don't understand why Bruce Willis couldn't make some kind of deal, but that's probably been talked at some point, because I guarantee you we're not the first ones to think, you know, he'd be great in Netflix. I guarantee you he's thought about it. It's just hasn't happened, or, you know, or they're just not interested in him right now, which kind of sucks. You know, I dig him. I don't dig all this, you know, stuff. So he's been whatever, but you know, that's beside the point, I guess. You know, it's not up to me to decide what people, you know, do. But speaking of which, I do want to ask you this question. So do you think that this movie, this Double Dragon, not the way it was done necessarily, but do you think it could be made today for an audience?
Yes.
Do you think, I don't know if Double Dragon has a big enough name still, you know, like I know it, you know it because you just watched it. Were you aware of Double Dragon before this? No. Yeah.
Never.
You never played the video game.
There are so many brilliant people out there with just such big creative minds. I feel like it could be done and pull in a whole new audience.
Exactly. I think, especially if you just don't go with the, you know, New Angeles thing, because I don't think it was ever called New Angeles, you know, or whatever, but maybe it was. Maybe it,
I think the newscasters called it that.
Well, I know, and there's other talks about being called New Angeles. I saw that a bunch, so I was like, yeah, you know, like if they kept it more like light to the game and probably
right,
there used to actually be a and it's on Tubi as well, but there was a animated TV show that came out right before this, so but it was completely different than this, you know,
they wouldn't, right,
and maybe if they look at the cartoon and kind of maybe keep it toward that. The cartoon for Double Dragon, actually, let me read you what the what the plot for that sort of is, because so okay, they don't have any plot thing up there except it says an animated TV series based on the, well, maybe it's on the first episode or something. It was called The Shadow Falls, you know, and maybe that's what the so Jimmy and Billy are reunited after being separated at birth. Billy decides to open up a martial arts school to teach local kids. Billy is attacked by the shadow boss, who turns out to be his brother.
Okay.
So there's...
That kind of ties into the movie a little bit.
A little bit. Well, the shadow stuff. But the characters are... There's no... There's Wild Willie, which was actually a name of one of the, I think was the name of one of the bad guys in it.
Yeah.
So not in the movie, but in the actual video game. So I don't know. It's so strange. Like that they should have probably did it more toward what the cartoon was doing, especially like, you know, if they're going to make a live action movie sort of, you know, with the cartoon, you know, like that's what Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and very similar stuff to the live action and the cartoon. Right. So, you know, they all love pizza. And that might also be the comics too.
Who doesn't?
I think that's a line in, right? Like, you know, in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, doesn't everybody, you know, you know, that's so true. Yeah. But anyway, I think that about wraps it up for this episode. Was there anything that we didn't talk? There's a lot that happened in this movie. We probably didn't even go into some of that stuff. You know,
there was so much that happened in this movie.
It was so.
You just have to watch it, guys.
It's on Tubi. It's silly. It's if you like Three Stooges style humor, where they're bonking each other on the head, or you know, at one point when. I think it was Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy goes inside the you know, goes inside Shugo. He makes him slap himself in the face and you know, whatever. Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Well, you know, right, you know, that kind of stuff, and just stupid kid humor that, you know, I'm sure you'll get a kick out of if you like stupid kid humor, you know. If you don't, right. If you're looking for something serious or something.
Yeah, this is not the movie for you.
Skip this. by all means, please. But I hope that Nintendo makes some more, you know, movies based on their stuff, based on their IP, especially like Link. I know they've been talking about doing that for years. And
I would love that.
Did you ever see the Legend of Zelda TV show that they had with Link? There was I think you can find on YouTube probably episodes, but he was like, Link was such a little punk. You know, he was like a little punk kid who would always be like, excuse me, princess. That was his like tagline. Yeah, check it out. It's really funny.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah. But aside from that, I hope they make something like that because I would love that. And hell, if they could make it like a Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of thing where all of them just eventually, Super Mario, Link, all of them all hang out, that'd be great. I would love that. So that's my suggestion. I think I said that in one of my last episodes. So, well, thank you, Liz, for coming on the show and having a blast. Join us next month. I think the next month's episode, I'm not sure what it is yet. So I guess you'll find out because we got a couple coming up. We'll let you guys know when we start recording them. So, all right. Well, thank you guys for checking this out and hope you have a good one. Bye, everybody.
Bye.